Welcome to the DevCon Archives, featuring top sessions from the latest DevCon, which took place in Bangkok in November 2024. These episodes spotlight some of the best talks from the largest Ethereum developer conference, showcasing the technical advancements, mission, projects, and novel ideas shaping the Ethereum ecosystem. All talks have been recorded. You can find them on archive.devcon.org. Let's dive into today's featured talk.
Hello. All right, so this is going to be a quick one. So I'll try to go fast, but hopefully keep it comprehensible. My name is Mike Seligadze. I'm founder and CEO of EtherFi. And my lens on the crypto space is that I come from a Web2 background. And so one of the things that I want to talk about is what are some of the lessons that Web3 founders can learn from the Web2 universe. So just to give you a little bit about my background, I got into crypto super early, bought some Bitcoin back in 2011. That's like the actual confirmation email. It was about a dollar per Bitcoin at that time. There weren't even exchanges. I had to just PayPal some money to a random guy on an internet forum, which was fun. Then around the same time, I started a company called Top Hat, which was a Web2 company in B2B SaaS. So specifically, we were doing education software for universities, so which is a very challenging market to be in. Spent about 10 years growing that company. It ended up being pretty successful. We got it up to around 450 employees, about 65 million revenue, and then sold it in 2021. It was a great outcome. And so then I decided to do pretty much the exact opposite as far as you can get from education software, which was my first passion, crypto, and started EtherFi around 2022. And that's gone remarkably well. We've been humbled at all our success. We're the number four DeFi protocol by TVL, at least about $8 billion in TVL, given current ETH price. Around 30 million revenue and growing super fast. Couldn't be more excited about it. One of the reasons I would say that EtherFi has been successful is because we've taken sort of the discipline and mechanics of operation of the business and brought it to the DeFi world. And so what I want to do is just talk about, what are some of those lessons. So, the curse of crypto is that there's way too much money in the space. There's just a ton of gambling money coming from the great, casinos in the sky. And that actually, the effect that ends up having is crowding out real product development, because it basically eliminates the need in many cases for getting product market fit. If you're doing, a Web2, more traditional SaaS type of business, the cycle of that business looks roughly like this. You acquire a customer, you get the customer to give you dollars, you then keep that customer by providing a good service, then you reinvest that back into R&D, and then the customer is happy and there's a nice positive feedback loop. In Web3, it looks a little bit different. Usually you find a project that's really cool, maybe a nice DEX. You launch a token, you vest your tokens, you cash out, and then you're done. It's a great business model, super easy to make really, shocking amounts of money doing it that way. But when the main business model is basically printing casino chips and then taking a rake, this is why we can't have nice things. So what I'd like to do is talk about, what are some of the principles that you can use to construct projects that actually have some sustainability. And the reason they're important is because there's actually, I guess what I would say is almost a science around this stuff that goes into putting together these businesses that are sustainable, so that you can answer this question, is your project a viable project? Does it have some sustainability, or is Ponzi. So here's some quick definitions. So we're going to run through this really fast. CAC is cost of customer acquisition, or customer acquisition cost. ARPU is average revenue per user. Churn is basically how much you retain one cohort of customers to the next time period. Net dollar retention is how many dollars you're retaining from one time period to another. LTV is lifetime value. So these are kind of like the key. I mean, there's probably dozens of other metrics, but these are the key ones that you need to remember. And the main question is, are you even measuring these? Because if you're not even measuring these things, you're probably more in the, or you're lending yourself more to being in the Ponzi camp. Okay, so what does that, what does this look like? Well, this is the fundamental kind of mechanic of customer acquisition. You spend a bunch of money. Let's say you spend $5,000 to acquire a customer. And then every month you get a little bit of money from that customer. Maybe it's a DEX, you spend some money to acquire them, sales and marketing, BD, whatever. And then the user trades and that generates revenue for the project over some period of time until the customer churns at some point. And so at some point, you know, you go from negative, let's say you spend $5,000 to acquire the customer, and then the customer pays themselves back. Over time, you go to, you know, cash flow positive, and then ideally, if you at some point pay back the cost of acquisition, the project actually makes sense. So the rough benchmark is that your LTV divided by your CAC needs to be greater than 3. Why? There's lots of reasons for that, but to be, you know, a top quartile kind of company, you want to make sure that your lifetime value of your customer is worth more than 3x the cost to acquire that customer. And you want to make sure that the payback period is less than 12 months. That matters because it has a dramatic impact on the growth of your business. If your payback period is like 24 months, you're basically never going to get out of the trough. You're basically, the business isn't going to work. Whereas otherwise, you get a really nice growth graph. Okay, I'm over time. So the other thing that matters is churn. You want to make sure that you're growing your customer base. The cohort of customers that you have is growing in terms of their usage of the product faster than the customers that you're losing, the customers that are churning out. If you have high churn, you basically plateau because the cohorts all kind of compress and go to zero. If you have a negative churn, then you know, it grows really nicely. Okay, so the first step I would say is, in summary, you got to measure these things. If you don't know these numbers, then you're going to have a bad time. And there's a real science to this. So I encourage you to go out there and research about how this science is put together so that you can build more sustainable projects that have utility. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. So we have time for a few questions. Yep, it's a bit far. Can I? Over there, behind you.
Thank you. What's your most valuable customer acquisition channel?
I think for most projects, I mean, it's X or Twitter. That just, you know, that tends to drive most customer acquisition, and then word of mouth. You know, there's in the SaaS world, there's a parameter called the K factor. How many customers does each customer refer? So I think in crypto, it's pretty much Twitter and word of mouth.
Hey, love the presentation. Thank you for the pricing strategy 101 reminder. That was great. As a double founder in Web2 and Web3, what's your take on the fact that the majority of the people in crypto come from like successful companies, successful business school? We majority all know this, but collectively we are not able to do the basics to deliver insightful projects. I'd love to hear your take on that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Just to so first of all, I would say the operating chops in crypto are pretty low. I mean, just being honest, the average founder that you meet in crypto tends to not have very strong operating chops. Huge amount of money wasted without really any consideration for ROI. You know, companies just they're not run super efficiently, and so you see projects that are. Even some of the largest projects in crypto that should be just absolutely printing money that are instead just hemorrhaging money incomprehensibly. A complete lack of financial literacy, people that think, you know, token emissions are revenue and other insanity. So I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because it's just so easy to make money by doing the Ponzi stuff versus doing the hard work. You know, okay, I can talk more about that, but I'll stop there.
Thank you very much. So please, oh, sorry, we don't have more time for questions. So thank you very much for your time and for this.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to visit archive.devcon.org to watch and listen to all the other DevCon talks. We look forward to seeing you next time.